Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
The Russians also knew about what General Flynn had done, and the Russians also knew that General Flynn had misled the vice president and others, because in the media accounts, it was clear from the vice president and others that they were repeating what General Flynn had told them, and that this was a problem, because not only did we believe that the Russians knew this, but that they likely had proof of this information. And that created a compromise situation, a situation where the National Security Advisor essentially could be blackmailed by the Russians.
That was testimony yesterday by Sally Yates, who was the acting attorney general for a short period of time, and who was the person who went to the White House and said, you know, you got a problem with Mike Flynn. Joining us on the line right now, Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer, a CIA-trained former senior intelligence officer and New York Times best-selling author. Good morning to you, Tony. How are you?
Hey, Brian. Thanks for having me. Good to be on.
Sally Yates says she went to the White House counsel and she raised these issues. And yet the question seems to be unanswered is, well, what happened in the intervening days between the time that she first alerted them and the Trump administration decided to take action with regard to Mike Flynn?
Well, I think, Brian, they probably scratched their head like I do when she talks about this nonsense. I mean, look. Mike Flynn went through a careful vetting. This security clearance process is pretty intense. And now this one thread of so-called collusion doesn't pass the common sense test. He had a conversation. The Russians, of course, knew they had a conversation. That doesn't then make it blackmailable because you talk about things which are sensitive. I think it's the other way around. The Russians weren't going to blackmail anybody. They're looking for outreach to begin negotiations with the incoming Trump administration. What you see here is Ms. Yates being hyper-partisan, taking one element, which, by the way, would not rise to the level of a security clearance issue. A conversation between two people over any issue, any given issue like this, would not rise to the level that it would have to be an investigative issue. So she is being both disingenuous and, frankly, she is being a partisan here.
Well, she makes the case that that Flynn was out there saying certain things that had told the vice president certain things that turned out not to be true, and she felt like that was a problem.
Brian, how many times do you get on the phone and maybe not remember everything you say in a conversation to someone else?
It happens hourly.
It happens, yeah. So let's be clear on what she's saying. She is saying that basically a protected conversation, which I still think should have been protected, we don't know all the circumstance about exactly how this came to be, should have been left at that. Again, the fact that they brought it out and put it up to that level over a single scope issue tells me that Mike Flynn was doomed. They were going after him, and this is, I think, the most clear evidence of that. The other thing to ask yourself here is how in the heck did this information show up in front of the media? We still have no answers, and I admire Senator Chuck Grassley. I think he did a good job yesterday. He didn't do a great job. He didn't go down the path as far as he should have regarding questioning her much more specifically about the chain of custody and information access points of this information. Who all had it? How did they get it? And how did it end up in front of the New York Times and Washington Post? That to me is still a very critical issue.
Yeah, and I thought that was very interesting yesterday. And I do believe that one of the senators, I don't know if it was Chuck Grassley or not, maybe it was Lindsey Graham, was saying that he is going to find the answers to these questions about how this information got to the media. And I guess my question to you is, do you see that happening?
Well, Mary, I'd like to believe so. I mean, I don't have a great deal of confidence in Senator Graham and a bunch of these other folks by the fact that I'm not sure if they're vested in actually getting to the bottom of this. This chaos seems to benefit a certain number of folks on the Republican side as well. So I'd like to believe, and at this point, as far as I'm concerned, you have to appoint an independent counsel to go hard at Ms. Yates, Jim Clapper, and John Brennan. I think they were all in somehow working together with Ben Rhodes and others from the White House to shape the information battle space. I consider this an information operation, the whole thing. And this was well thought, well orchestrated. And again, Mary, as you point out, someone leaked information with precision. And the idea that you have senior officers like Yates trying to put themselves up holier than thou to say, oh, I was just trying to do my job, when I do believe, and obviously we know Jim Clapper, her testimony companion, has lied under oath before. So I don't believe these people for a minute, and I think you need to do something much more severe than simply a congressional investigation.
The real question seems to be getting at who unmasked this intelligence.
Precisely.
And Sally Yates says she has never unmasked anybody or never requested that someone be unmasked. James Clapper said in one case, and I got the impression it wasn't this one, he had asked for an unmasking, and they're going to get into that in classified setting. Well, there are only a handful of people who could ask for an unmasking, and it seems to me that the finger is starting to be pointed in a very strong way at one Susan Rice.
Right, and let me point out how she could still ask for an unmasking and not ask for an unmasking, as you just pointed out. Brian, if Mary had the access and you don't want to do it, you just say, hey, Mary, can you unmask this person for me and let me see it? Not to say that Gates couldn't have called over to Rice and say, hey, I need to see this. Then it would have been pointed back to Rice and no one else. So this, and then, of course, as Rice has said, it's shared with others. So again, Brian, these people are trying to obfuscate and try to blur how things could be done. This is where we have to start being very clear. And I heard Tom Fenton earlier. My friend Tom was on with you guys earlier talking about the FOIA issue and trying to figure out everybody she talked to during in her email during the time she was the acting attorney general. That's hugely important because it's going to talk to a number of issues relating to who she talked to, when she talked to them, and what the focus was of those of that short time in. But I do believe that she has worked, continues to work as a partisan. And the other thing, Brian, that really stood out yesterday in this testimony is when she was asked about Russia. Jim Clapper, again, said there's no evidence of collusion. Her answer was both stupid and sinister.
Well, hang on. We've got that right here. This is cut number 16, if we could, Mike. Here is talking about...
collusion.
I'm sorry, it's cut 15. It's about collusion and whether or not there was collusion. I mean, Clapper said very clearly, I don't know of any, and here's what she said.
Are you aware of any evidence that would suggest that in the 2016 campaign, anybody in the Trump campaign colluded with the Russian government or intelligence services in an improper fashion?
And Senator, my answer to that question would require me to reveal classified information, and so I can't answer that.
I mean, Clapper could, but she couldn't.
No, it doesn't say no. It's a yes or no answer.
Yep.
And so it doesn't require, quote unquote, classified information. That was designed to create doubt in the mind of those who want to have doubt. And so, Brian, again, that answer right there encapsulates her attitude and who she is. She is a partisan. That was a yes or no answer. It required no more than that. It was not a classified answer.
Yeah, and that's, I guess, my frustration with this whole thing is I was watching it yesterday, and what bothers me was your response to saying that you don't think some of these Republicans want to get an answer to these questions, and they were sitting there so forcefully, and I thought, wow, well, maybe something's actually going to happen here, but you just said that some of these Republicans, though, may benefit from us not finding the answer to this. Why?
Well, I think because of what we've seen both sides doing here, Mary, is that a certain number of folks are still not happy about the Trump administration, and this gives them some level of leverage. I mean, look, everything about this town is political, and whenever I see folks talking big about how they're going to do something,
right,
I'm very skeptical on Capitol Hill. And believe me, since I've been a whistleblower myself, I've seen it personally.
So. We got to leave it right there. Tony Schaefer, always a pleasure, my friend.
Yeah, hey, thank you, Brian.
Thank you.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.